have to start decreeing and declaring. The Bible says that God daily loads us with benefits. Do you know that's what the Bible says? He daily. Now, it would have been okay if he said once a week or once a month. But he says he daily loads us with benefits. Someone said if you're going to have a fit, have a benefit. Amen. Well, there's a whole lot of benefits. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, in Psalm 103, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, and forget not all of his benefits. He says he forgives all of your sins and iniquities. And number two, he heals all of your diseases. And number three, he redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise the Lord. We can go home right now and say amen. We had church today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But you know, I began to share some things last Sunday morning. We had a snowstorm last week, so a lot of you may not have been here. And still dealing with some of these lingering symptoms of snow out here. But I'm believing next week it's going to be all out of here in Jesus' name. But I was praying about this a few weeks ago, and the Lord definitely put something fresh in my heart in some revelation, actually, regarding the subject of faith. I was not even aware of the fact that I was going to be doing a series along this line. But, you know, when you get, I've been doing this for almost 30 years now, and you get in the presence of God, and he puts something strong on the inside of your heart, and it may not have been the thing that I wanted to teach on, but it's something, it's on the heart of God that he wants to help communicate. So this series is called Now Faith Is, as you can see up there. And I believe that the Lord is going to help us. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week to share this in a simplistic way about the subject of faith and how powerful it is. I believe with all of my heart, and I've heard others say this as well, that this is the most important subject in the Bible. Because you can't be saved without it. You can't be healed without it. You can't be delivered without it. You can't be filled with the Holy Ghost without it. Faith is the key. It's the doorway into the things of God, the promises of God. In Exodus chapter 3, we're going to pick up in verse 1 again here. We saw this last week, so I want you to follow along with me. We're going to read through a few verses here. And most of you, when you read this, this will go back. If you've ever seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, okay? This will probably bring back some flashbacks in this particular area here, but except we're reading out of the Bible this time. Amen. But in Exodus 3, verse 1 says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock by the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even the mount of Horeb. In verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And 4 says, And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. So when God calls your name twice, you better listen. Amen. Didn't Jesus say, Martha, Martha? Okay. Back in my day, my mother would call me by my middle name and my full name. I thought, this is serious now. We won't get into that. Okay. And verse 5, he says, And draw not hither, but put off the shoes of thy feet, and the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Verse 6, And moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen. Now notice this. Here's what God is saying. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Do you know God sees your affliction? He sees what you go through. But he doesn't stop there. Aren't you glad? And he says, I've surely seen, verse 7, the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And here's the answer in verse 8. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, enlarge the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. In other words, this is the promised land. And termites, whatever else. And verse 9 says, Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen the oppression, but wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And God said in verse 10 to Moses, come now. Now notice this. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my children of Israel out of Egypt. And he says in response in verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I? We would say, who in the world am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I think most of us will probably feel that way too, right? You'd feel, are you kidding me? Big time Pharaoh, his armies, who am I to deliver them? We would all probably have that response, I'm sure. In verse 12, God says, he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. The mountain that he's on right there, Horeb. And verse 13, and Moses said unto God, look, he says, when I shall come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? So Moses is having this dialogue with God right here, right? And so Moses said, and the Lord said in verse 14, here's what we're going to focus on here. And the Lord said unto Moses, he's responding to his question, what is his name? What's the God that sent me? What should I say? What is his name? And God says this, I am that I am. He said, and thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now that's a little bit strange. You know? If we say, hey, what's that person's name? Sam. Joe. Pete. Mary. And God says, tell them my name is I am. All right, now this is significant because we're talking about the subject of faith here. And notice that God is in the now. Everybody say now.
Now.
He didn't say this. God didn't say, I was that I was, or I will be that I will be. He didn't say, I was the God of the past and I'm the God of the future. He says, no, I am now. When you say I am, that's present tense right now. Are you with me? Now, I know I shared some of this last week, but I really feel compelled to go into some of this again because we learn by repetition, okay? And it builds a foundation. It builds faith on the inside of us because let me tell you something. We got some world changers in this room right now.
Amen.
And the Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, and which is our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So what does that mean? That means every doggone thing, paraphrase, that's in this world, sickness, disease, lack, oppression, all these things that are in the earth, the Bible says we overcome them by faith. We overcome them by faith. When you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you made him your Lord and your Savior, all the devils in hell couldn't stop you from getting saved. Listen, if old Slewfoot, if the devil was so powerful, he could have kept all of us from getting saved. But he didn't. Amen? He didn't stop you. He didn't stop me. Someone shared the gospel. You received it, and you came out of darkness into his marvelous light. It doesn't get any better than that. That's as good as it gets. Amen? You got saved. You got born again. So God says, here's my name. I am. Say, I am. Now, Josh, you can bring these scriptures up as a unit here. But we saw that God told Moses here in Exodus, he said, tell them I am has sent me. The I am, present tense. But we see over in, and I'm just going to refer to this, that Jesus said I am several times in the New Testament. We see in John chapter 6, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. We see in John 8, I am the light of the world. That's the word I am. John 8, 58 says, before Abraham was, I am. In John 10, 9, Jesus says, I am the door. In John 10, 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, John 15:1, he says, I am the true vine. I am. Now, let's take you back to English class here for a minute. That was one class I despised. I thought, why in the world do I need English class? Anybody ever thought that before? So no wonder I didn't barely pass that class. You know what I'm saying? Not proud of it, but that's just the way it was. One time I had a nightmare, and this was just a couple of years ago, that I was still in high school. And I was walking around the hallways going to my next class. And I woke up, I thought, thank you, Jesus, that was a nightmare. There's no reality to that. But there's something about the tense of the word that's being used. I am is present tense. Say, I am. And we saw this last week. Go over to Matthew 16 real quick here. Matthew 16, and we'll just cover a couple of things here. And so again, going back to what we shared in the opening scripture in Exodus, what was Moses supposed to tell the Israelites what his name was? I am. He said, I am that I am. Now, we're going to see why that's so significant. Because God is not I was. God isn't I will be. He's I am right now. Let me put it to you this way. The Bible says God is our very present help in the time of need. You know, the Bible says we can encourage ourselves in the Scriptures. David went and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let me tell you something. Are you ready to get your socks blessed off today?
Amen.
I don't care how cold it is. Amen? Amen. Listen, if you can't get excited about this, your wood's wet. That's one guy said. Oh, praise God. Matthew 16, verse 13. The tense of how we see God literally will make all the difference in our lives. We see this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's asking them a question. He said, what are people saying about me? And verse 14, their response was, they said, some say you are John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Evidently, they believed in reincarnation, because these are all Old Testament saints that have been gone for years. Okay? And, you know, he's in with a pretty good bunch right here. Some say, well, you're Elijah, you're Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. Well, that's pretty cool. But you know what? That didn't satisfy. They didn't satisfy Jesus, because he said this. Verse 15, he said unto them, who do you say that I am? I believe God is asking that question today. It's not so much what others are saying about God and about Jesus. It's what are we saying? What are we saying about Jesus? Because what we say about him affects the condition of our lives. When I said, Jesus, you are Lord, come into my life, that affected me. Amen? Mm-hmm. So he's asking this question, the crowd's saying, you're John the Baptist, you're Elijah, you're one of the other prophets, Jeremiah, so forth and so on. These are all a bunch of pretty big guys to run with. Amen? But that didn't satisfy Jesus. He said, who are you saying right now that I am? And he went on to say, and Peter, verse 16, answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, he said, you know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. How many of you know that? Like John Smith. Are you with me now? Christ is means the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. In other words, people with bodies didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, notice the connection between, in verse 17, what Peter said in connection with being blessed. You know, in America, we've reduced blessing to a response to a sneeze. Achoo! God bless you. Are you with me now? It's so much more than that. It's actually an empowerment. Peter said, look, Lord, you are the Christ, the anointed one. And he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he says, you are blessed, Simon. He got blessed. Thank you, Lord. And he said, that I say to you, verse 18, that thou art Peter, a small stone. That's what his name means. And upon this large, massive rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, we saw last week that where people have misconstrued this scripture and made it say something that it doesn't say, and people, depending on your religious background, people say that, you know, Peter was the first pope. And Jesus was saying, look, Peter, you're the dude. We're going to build this church on you, around you. This is the furthest thing from the truth, because if you look at the next couple of verses here, look at verse 20, same chapter. You saw this last week, you're going to see it again, but this is all in the same sentence, in the same setting right here. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ. And from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. So now he's starting to show them some things they haven't seen before. Well, verse 22. Here's Peter again. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Well, we know, I'm glad that this is in here, because Peter is not the rock that Jesus Christ is building the church on. Because, now this just shows our human frailty sometimes, because on one hand, we can be hearing the voice of God. We know we heard from God. But then a few minutes later, Peter is getting some earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom that he thinks is good advice. And you know, well-meaning people, well-meaning believers and Christians can say things that are inspired of Satan sometimes. Did you know that? You ever run across a few people like that? Messengers of discouragement. Okay? Well-meaning people. Never be a wet blanket to someone. Amen. Listen, if they're going to fail, let them fail on their own. You don't have to be a contributor to it. Amen? Are you with me now? Praise God. But notice in the scripture right there, he says that he told Peter, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, on just a few seconds before that, he's probably feeling really good about himself. Because, you know, he did this in front of his disciples. He says, Simon, that response, that's the right response. You're blessed. He's probably thinking, yeah. You know how human nature is. You'd feel pretty good too. Jesus commended you. You'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah. But then Jesus starts talking about going to the cross and dying. And Peter says, come here, Jesus, come here. I need to talk to you. Come on over here. He said, don't do that. That's stupid. Don't even think about doing that. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. So who was behind that saying? Satan. Okay? But see, the devil has to use a body. Do you know there's very little that the devil can do to you unless he uses some person with a physical body. Do you know that? On the flip side of that, it's the same with the kingdom of God. God uses people to speak to other people. Of course, he can speak directly to your heart and minister to you. I had the Lord speak something to me a few days ago that really, really ministered to my heart. You want me to share that with you? Give you a little sneak preview of it. He says, I am predictable. Someone says, you never know what God's going to do. His mysterious ways and wonders to perform. That's religious folks that are filled with head knowledge that don't understand these things. You never know what God's going to do. Do you ever hear that saying before? You just want to slap them. Because, no, God told me in my spirit, and He showed me, He says, Keith, I am very predictable. Now, people can be unpredictable. How many of you know that? Amen? Sometimes you fail your own self. You know what I mean? You're like, man, I let myself down. You know, other people can let you down. People can let you down. Okay? But let me tell you something. God is really predictable. And everything that, and He gave me the scripture in Psalm 89:34. He says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips. God says, what I said, I will do it. Numbers says, He's not a man that He should lie. Hath He spoken it? Shall He not do it? Hath He not said it? Shall He not make it good? Amen. Boy, I get stirred up about this. But see, God is predictable. What He said in His Word, He will do every single time. It's a law. It's a law of God. So we don't have to wake up with this mentality of, I wonder what's going to happen. When you go out, I would highly suggest that you claim Psalm 91 every day before you leave the house. What do you mean claim Psalm 91? Speak it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it goes on to say about protection. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near thee. And I know, I'll tell you the truth, I could go on and on about this, but for time's sake I won't. But there are people that are in the military that got hold of this. There's people in the military that were in harm's way in combat, fighting for a righteous cause. And as they claim Psalm 91, as their captain, as their leader, had them claim the soldiers, I forget what they call it, the soldiers' protective, there's some other word that they use for it. But basically, they claim Psalm 91, and they get out there, and there are platoons out there, and bullets are flying right and left, but none of them got hit. None of them lost their lives. While there's other people around them losing their lives right and left. Okay? The question is this. Is divine protection available for us today? Yes. Decidedly, yes. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, I wasn't even planning on saying all that, but I did anyway. I won't charge you for it. I'll tell you, this boy is excited. This Pastor Keith is pretty excited. And I'm not just psyched up because it's a thing to do. But I believe the Word. God said this, getting back to, God says, I'm predictable. He says, I will always do what I said I'd do in my Word. Now, have you ever had someone say, you know, I'm going to do such and such for you, and they backed out? Has anybody ever had that experience before? And you're like, you know, they said they were going to give me $200,000, and they didn't come through. You understand what I'm saying? No wonder they backed out. Listen, I had a guy one time, one of the richest guys in the city of Pittsburgh. I won't give you any names. But I sat down in that guy's, it was through another friend, had me sit down in this guy's office. Big high back chair, all the leather. This guy's a multi millionaire. Okay? This is many, many years ago. Remember that, honey? We thought, man, our ship's coming in, dear God. And this friend of ours that was actually that knew him that was coming to our church at that time, he said, you know, you need to talk to this guy. He's got so much money, he don't know what to do with it, you know. So he arranged this meeting, and I didn't know what I was really getting into. We sat down in this office, you know, and long story short, he agreed to give us this massive building for our church. And I mean to tell you, that thing would have taken care of us till the millennium. You know what I'm saying? And the guy verbally agreed to do it. But as you can see, it never came to pass. Okay? But we were there. He told us verbally with his own mouth. He says, I'm going to write this out. I'm going to, you know, give this to you. I'm going to give it to your church. That was pocket change for this guy. Okay? Well, needless to say, it didn't come to pass. He didn't act on it. tried to get a hold of him again, wouldn't pick his phone up, wouldn't call us back, things like that, you know. And finally, the Lord just spoke to my heart. He says, no, son, he says, trust me. Trust me for this, okay? And point being is this, people can let you down. You can let your own self down. Other folks can let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. Maybe the reason that you're dealing with some oppression and depression is because you're putting too much stock, you're putting too much trust in man. And the Bible says that the fear of man is a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord will be made safe. God is predictable. If God says he's my healer, he's my healer 100% of the time. If God says he's my provider, he's my provider 100% of the time. Amen? And it's having your roots deep down, like a big tree trunk, roots deep down into the promises of God. No, I'm not talking about getting full of head knowledge where you can quote this and quote that and things that don't mean anything. You can get so full of head knowledge, you're no good for anything. Amen? You can quote all the who's related to who in the Bible and read the, you know, the first chapter of Matthew and say, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. You can quote all that. That's not going to make the devil run off from you. Amen. Are you with me? So-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. You ever do that before? You're like, see, God keeps good records. But see, you can get so full of head knowledge of things that don't change your life. But what we need to be doing, folks, we need to be rooted in the things that will change our lives and to change the people around us. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.